Hour number two, next man up, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Just heard from Brian Callahan, Titans hitting the practice field over at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. We will have updates from practice later on in the show. Also, Jeff Hemm, voice of the Nashville Sounds, going to join us coming up at 10:30. Couple of things from that Brian Callahan presser. The one that got me and you, PK kept poking. Like, I like it from Paul Kuharsky. That is who he is. He is the guy who's going to keep asking the questions till he gets the answer he wants. But, man, we got some fiery Brian Callahan there for a second when he asked about throwing Jeff Simmons out of the practice. I like it. I like it from Brian Callahan. He was not happy with the notion of he should have thrown Jeffrey Simmons out of practice yesterday.
I've been in the league 16 years. I've never thrown anybody out of practice. I don't know how it was before this, but that was not about me.
That was so funny. He's basically like, I don't know where you guys are getting this. Like, people don't get thrown out of practice that often.
I'll tell you where he got it, or where he gets it, is the guy before him actually did throw people out of practice. So that's where it's coming from.
Well, and it's like, you don't hear a ton about guys getting thrown out of practice. I mean, like, the one that stands out is the DeAndre Hopkins, D'Angelo Hall joint practice one where those guys just started fist fighting in the middle of the field. But, like, I liked it from Brian Callahan because usually he tries to be the, you know, mellow, like, you know,
cool, calm,
gives
collected.
The safe answer to a lot of questions. He was not happy about that question. A couple of other updates. Calvin Ridley not practicing today. He said soreness. You hope that they're being honest there. Kevin Winston has been out for soreness for about 3 weeks. So, and obviously that's different. He's recovering from an ACL. But we'll see. Calvin Ridley not practicing today. Maybe a little bit concerning. We'll see if he's out there tomorrow. I would guess that means for sure he's not playing on Friday. Doesn't sound like T'Vondre Sweat is back. Little concerning that he's missed most of training camp now. And L'Jarius Sneed, just an enigma. What can you say about L'Jarius Sneed except no one has any idea what's going on with him? Second question to the press conference, do you think L'Jarius Sneed could come back this week? And it's maybe tomorrow. We'll see. He's got some stuff to work through. Maybe tomorrow. We'll find out. It's like, will he be ready for week one? Who knows?
Yeah, it's almost like he told on himself. I mean, like, what is it? Left or right? Or we go straight? Like, where is it, Brian? Like, we got to know, is Sneed actually going to play football this year or not? That's simply what Titans fans want to know. Just give us an indicator saying, yeah, you know what? We actually will expect him to play this season. I would have been okay with a umbrella answer of we expect him to play this season. I would have been okay with
that. Right. That would have been fine. Lenny on our text line says, what are you talking about? You just said that he should have thrown him out of practice. Now you're supporting him for saying that he shouldn't throw him out of practice. Which is it, guys? I do want to clarify. I'm not saying he shouldn't have thrown him out of practice. I'm saying I like the fire from Brian Callahan
when
he disagreed. It was less about what he said. It was more about how he said it. I do think that he should have held Big Jeff accountable because as PK said in his question, he said, is that giving free rein to everybody to hit Cam Ward? And like, obviously that's not going to happen. People know not to hit the quarterback. I'm not saying he shouldn't have thrown him out of practice. I'm saying I like that Brian Callahan stood up and didn't like the question and the narrative around it, and he stood up and was unhappy with it. He had some fire. He had some edge. We like that from Brian Callahan.
It's like no longer low-T Titans. They're the Titans. They are the bringing the energy Titans, and that's what Brian Callahan brings to the table. And, I mean, I don't know if he read it or not or maybe seen it on his little ESPN app about the whole article of maybe Amy wanting to potentially move on from him after the season.
Yeah, I mean, sure that's probably not a great way to wake up. That article came out at 6 a.m. I'm sure that he saw it.
Yeah, I mean, if you see stuff like that and then you have PK follow up with these questions, like, you're probably going to be peed off a little bit.
I mean, not that Brian Callahan didn't know. I'm sure that he understood if there were conversations going on, but like,
right.
To have it put out there, and I'm sure he's getting texts and calls and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure that's not a fun way to start your morning. But no, I'm not. I still stand by the fact that I think at least last year and maybe yesterday, and I get it, he said that they pulled him off the practice field and practice was over two plays later, so it wouldn't have made a whole much of a difference. I do think that Brian Callahan needs to hold Big Jeff accountable. I'm just saying I like that Callahan stood up and wasn't taking anything from PK, who I like it. Paul Kuharsky, that is what he does. He's going to poke. He's going to ask the tough questions. But I like that Brian Callahan fought back a little bit. We need some, you need, not every head coach needs to be Mike Vrabel, but I like some edge because that's the one thing that people have been asking for from Brian Callahan is, you know, don't have the forced edge like his backwards hat speech at the beginning of the year, but have some edge, have some personality with it.
Yeah, and I think everybody, especially Titans fans, are just tired of the sunshine and rainbows aspect of this two-tone blue. And I think with seeing Brian Callahan do that, that's exactly what you want to see. You want to see a little, like you're saying, edge, grit, all the above. The one thing that kind of, I wouldn't say rubbed me the wrong way, but definitely caught my attention was one of those PK questions of, does Jeff have special treatment?
Yeah.
Because even though Callahan said no, I'm still going with yes. Because if you look at a player that is, air quotes, a leader, a captain in some regard, and you give him a form of special treatment, to me, that is a yes, not a no.
Yeah, I do wonder if Cam Horsley went up and pushed Cam Ward in the face. He probably gets cut today. Like, yeah. Obviously, it's different. Like, Jeffrey Simmons is Jeffrey Simmons, but I wonder if maybe there is a little special.
Listen, guys, I think this is real simple. It seems like every time there's a fight, every time there's a scuffle at Titans practice, there is always one key person in the middle of it, and it happens to be Jeff Simmons. And as a leader, it's bad for eyeballs, people that are looking. It's bad for your teammates, your younger guys that are looking at you. Someone has to put a stop to it. I'm just being honest. Like, yeah. This is no slight to – well, it kind of is a slight. This has to stop. You can't be a leader and keep being in the middle of fights.
It's true. Simmons has to be mature, and it does seem like every time there's an issue, Jeff Simmons is right in the middle of it. Brian Callahan downplaying it, said it was, I wrote down the exact words, just some training camp push and shove, your standard back and forth. I get it, but when it's between your star player and your first overall pick quarterback, like it's a little bit bigger deal than if Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and Mason Kinsey are pushing and shoving. Like, you gotta rein that in. Jeff Simmons has to know not to hit the quarterback, but also, as Callahan said, Cam Ward probably shouldn't have put himself in that situation. Was a little disrespectful doing the zombie land right in front of Jeffrey Simmons' face and pushing him from behind. So I think it's a learning experience, hopefully, for everybody. I think Brian Callahan understands that that can't happen. Jeff Simmons hopefully understands that he can't do that. And hopefully Cam Ward understands that, hey, don't put yourself in a situation where somebody's going to hit you. You shouldn't get hit wearing the red jersey, but you're not the bubble boy. Like, you can't, somebody can still hit you if you get in their face. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, we'll continue to react to Brian Callahan's press conference as the Titans hit the practice field this morning. Jeff M. from the Nashville Sounds will join us coming up at 10:30. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinetics Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Jeff M. from the Nashville Sounds going to join us coming up in the next segment for a full hour. Going to talk some baseball sounds, starting a series with the Louisville Bats tonight in Nashville. Their parent club, the Milwaukee Brewers, are the best team in baseball by far. We're going to have a great conversation about the Sounds, Brewers, baseball as a whole. Some thoughts on the Rob Manfred saying geographic realignment. I wonder what Jeff Hem's thoughts are on that. We'll get that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. We are reacting to Brian Callahan's pre-practice press conference. Basically said that the Cam Ward, Jeff Simmons scuffle was your standard training camp push and shove. It was all fine. So he's downplaying it. The injury updates are where my red flags are starting to go up. Calvin Ridley, we mentioned that he's not practicing today. He said soreness. So I'm not going to concern about that until he misses a couple practices. Let's see what happens with Calvin Ridley. The two that I'm getting a little concerned about, L'Jarius Sneed and Tavondre Sweat. I understand Tavondre Sweat is tonsils at this point, so it's not like we're worried about him missing week one. But this is his second year, and he's now missed most of training camp with his abdominal injury and now got his tonsils removed. You can't control it, but like, look back at Peter Skoronski's rookie year when he had his appendix taken out. I get you lose weight with that and all that kind of stuff, but just missing that time out on the practice field, you wonder if that stunts his growth just a little bit. I'm not worried about Sweat being on the field, but he's missed a lot of time in this training camp to be able to grow. Maybe we don't see that next step in year two from T'Vondre Sweat.
Yeah, and to that point, Jake, I think you look at T'Vondre Sweat, it's not about the mental game for him, it's the physical game. Right. I don't know what type of shape he will be in, because that's what bothers me. Obviously, tonsillitis or whatever you have, you could get your tonsils out. You could have done that probably back in January or February, even if you knew that your tonsils were sore. A lot of people get their tonsils out. You didn't have to do it right before, you know, the season begins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like the timing
Unless it was like an emergent, like it got really bad really fast.
Yeah. So, I just, for him, it's more about the shape physically than it is the actual game, for like mental game for him. Looking at week one, week two, week three, I think he will definitely use Jeffrey Simmons and the rest of the interior as a crutch. And then you go on from there, and maybe the exterior of the edges of Femi Oladejo, Arden Key can kind of help compensate for all those, I guess, lack of opportunities for T'Vondre Sweat. So it's just a matter of time with him. And to the point about growth, yeah, there is some growth that has been hugely missed in this training
camp. Yeah, I mean, training camp's not everything, but you're right. Like, T'Vondre Sweat proved a lot of people wrong last year about, can he play enough snaps to be an impact player? And he did. He played, I want to say, either the most or second most snaps among rookie defensive tackles. So he was able to dispel that right away, but you miss most of training camp. Maybe you're not in football shape quite yet, especially starting in Mile High, where air's thinner. You know, it's. I'm wondering if maybe he won't be able to play a whole lot of snaps in week one, and does that slow down the progression that we hope to see from T'Vondre Sweat? With L'Jarius Sneed, I mean, we said it, like, it's an enigma. We have no idea what's going to happen with L'Jarius Sneed, because, I mean, Brian Callahan literally goes, yeah, he could be back tomorrow. We don't know. Will he be ready for week one? We'll see. My question is becoming, like, L'Jarius Sneed hasn't played football since early October of last year. Even if he is healthy, in air quotes, is he going to be productive? Like, he hasn't played a live football game since the Colts game in what, week five was the last time when he took the helmet off the quad. Like, is he going to be able to come back? And I'm not even saying go back to being who he was with the Chiefs. Can he come back and be a starting caliber corner in the NFL? I think that is a huge question.
To the point about starting, I don't think so. I think he'd be a serviceable cornerback. I think it was Gentry Estes that was talking with Robbie Nerector this morning. I think it was Connor that asked the question, great question by Connor, about the defense. And Gentry responded about Jarvis Brownlee Jr. And, you know, just he had a really good rookie season, but can he have a good second season? And I think with the whole L'Jarius Sneed saga and his injury, it puts more pressure on Jarvis Brownlee Jr. to produce. And I think he's going to have to, because if it's me, if I'm the head coach, I'm moving on from Sneed. Like, mentally, I am moving on. Maybe he's, you know, comes in every once, every couple plays, but I don't know. Like, we all don't know what his status is, and if you don't know that, you move on.
It's hard to expect anything from L'Jarius Sneed, because you hear the coaches, like Denard Wilson has come out and Brian Callahan has come out and said, like, when he's healthy, he is one of our starting cornerbacks. But again, he hasn't been on a football field playing football, even practicing football, in 10 months. And even when he was out there last year, the Dolphins game, he wasn't great. The Colts game, he wasn't great. I believe he gave up a couple of deep balls to Alec Pearson that game. Like, it's not like he was playing at a defensive player of the year all-pro level like he was when he was with the Chiefs. Like, he was in the conversation for best cornerback in the NFL when he was with the Chiefs. I don't know if he ever was actually solidified, like, at the top, but he was in the top five for sure. He wasn't that kind of player even when he was, again, healthy last year, in air quotes. I don't know if he's ever going to be that player again. I don't know if he's going to be close to that player again, but I can be pretty sure he's not going to be close to that player in week one when we still haven't seen him on the practice field, and we are now 19 days away from week one. Like, I can't see him coming out and being matched up with Courtland Sutton week one and actually having a decent game.
No, yeah, and, you know, he had his whole knee thing and the quad thing. For me, if you're a cornerback, and you play man-to-man coverage, there's a lot of shifting of the hips. That is going to play a huge factor into all this. And if he can't do that, and if that's what the Titans are trying to hide, then, like I said, you move on from that. But to ease him back into the game, you have to put him in certain packages where he can only play zone, if that's me, if I'm a corner and playing zone. Because that'll ease him back into football shape or whatever you want to call it. And that's simply that. Because then that leaves less stress on Jarvis Brownlee, less stress on Amani Hooker over the top. And looking at the whole Snead situation, because he's looked at as a perennial player, you got to look at Amani Hooker. I think he said 3-4 weeks ago that he wants to be that leader Kevin Byard was for him. He is that leader on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to showing how to be a true football player at the pro level.
Well, the problem with getting L'Jarius Sneed, like if he's playing zone, that means that he has to have safety help over the top if you're trying to take less stress off of him. But they already have to do that with Jarvis Brownlee because Jarvis Brownlee is not quick. So oftentimes Amani Hooker will be helping over the top on the side of Jarvis Brownlee. Well, what do you do with L'Jarius Sneed? Because now he has to cover man, and that just makes it too hard on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I know Denard Wilson talks about how he wants these big physical corners who are going to go up and they're going to press and they're going to beat up these wide receivers. And yeah, they may get some penalties here and there, but they also are going to get beat off the line sometimes. Yeah. Like if you're pressing that much, you're going to get beat sometimes. You got to have safety help over the top. I wonder if you want somebody who maybe can be a little more conservative on the other side.
That's what I'm saying, like to his point about, you know, if you play a zone for the most part, you're going to have more pressure and more just, I guess, responsibilities for Jarvis Brownlee. Being a young player, you have to be quick. I get it. He's slow off the ball. I understand that. But if you look at an injured player to a not injured player, you got to give more responsibility to the guy that's not injured. And that, to Parker's point.
Yeah, I don't know if we can expect anything from L'Jarius Sneed this year. I'm not ready to say he's not going to be on the field. I think they're going to give him a chance. But the way I felt about the cornerback room a year ago, even 6 months ago, it's greatly diminished. Because, I mean, I get it. Chidobe Awuzie wasn't a great player, but he was a veteran guy. Who I think at least, even if he's your fifth cornerback, you feel better about that than some of the other options out there. You're either going to need Daryl Baker to be a solid caliber player, or you need one of the young guys to step up, whether that's your draft pick Marcus Harris, maybe some of the undrafted guys, Gabe Judy-Lawley from last year, who he plays more in the nickel, or Jamari Harris, who I don't know if he's even going to make the team. So the Titans cornerback room, it's
looking bleak.
It is thin, and even at the top, it's not very good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Dr. Crank, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
It's been fun. And if you want more of Nick Frazier, listen in at noon with Chase and Big Joe. He'll be there for the radio show and back with us tomorrow from 9 to noon.
Indeed. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Love talking Titans and all sports with you, man.
Yes. Always great to talk with Nick Frazier. We will have more Titans stuff at the end of the show. Also some NFL news and notes because a division rival just named a starting quarterback. If you haven't seen that, we'll get to that towards the end of the show. But for the next hour, Jeff Hem from the Nashville Sounds is going to join us. Excited to talk with Jeff about the Sounds as they start a series against the Louisville Bats tonight. Also, the Milwaukee Brewers with lots of former Sounds. They have the best record in baseball. We'll talk with Jeff Hem for the next hour coming up next here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. And we are now pleased to be joined live in studio for the next hour by the voice of the Nashville Sounds, Jeff Hem. Going to talk some baseball on the station. Baseball doesn't get enough love around here, and excited to talk with Jeff for the next hour as the Sounds start their series against the Louisville Bats. Jeff, good to see you. Thanks
good
for coming in.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me. Congrats on the show.
Thank you.
It's been fun to listen to you so far, and thanks for letting me be your next man up for an hour.
Yes, it is nice, the format of the show. It allows us to talk with a lot of different people. Obviously, it's a lot of Titans guys. We'll bring in Teron and Paul Kaharski, but we get Vanderbilt people and, you know, got to get the Sounds involved here, too, as they come down the stretch in the season. We were just talking, I can't believe it's almost over. Like, baseball season flies, even though it's It's long. It's 150 games, but it does feel like it does fly by.
It does. I since I have kids, I liken it to having kids where the days are long, but the years are short. It's
right.
Like kind of how fatherhood works. You're like, how are they already this age or that age? And it's like, how have we already gotten almost to September? And then I look at the schedule. I'm like, I've done all those games. It makes sense. But yet here we are. I think it's because the six-game series format, which has been in place since 2021, I think that makes the season feel like it goes by faster because it's literally just taking a chunk off the week every week instead of a three-game series and a four-game series, which would amount to the same thing over time, but it doesn't feel the same as when you see one team for an entire week and then that comes off the schedule.
Right.
Mentally, it feels like you haven't you don't look at the schedule as much in the middle of the week when you know you're playing a team six times in a row. And then when that week is over, you're like, oh, that was a whole week's worth of games. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But, yeah, tonight we're home to start a two-week homestand, one of only two homestands left. We've got 18 home games total
Wow.
left and only 30 games total overall remaining, which is just wild.
I mean, it's a perfect way to put it of the days are long, but the years fly by. I mean, I did summer college baseball, and that was only a 75-game season, so half of what you're doing. And it's like, while you're in the thick of it, it's like, man, every day, it's like, you got another broadcast, and it goes, and then all of a sudden, it's by, and you're like, man, where'd the time go? So,
yeah.
Only 18 home games left, 12 in a row here. Louisville starting tonight, Charlotte coming up next week. I always think the AAA format is just so interesting because I get it. You have to keep the travel close. You don't want teams flying from, you know, Sacramento all the way to Charlotte, and that's why they split the PCL and the IL. But 20 teams in the International League, 10 in the PCL, so you get 20% of the teams in one league make the playoffs, while only 10% of the other league make the playoffs. It is interesting how, and they do it with the halves too. So
yeah.
First half champion makes the playoffs, second half champion makes the playoffs, and they play in the IL PCL championships.
Yes, I like the two halves. I didn't think I was going to as much as I have because it does allow a team that might have a brutal April to be in a playoff chase in July.
Right.
When otherwise, as we know from big league teams, like certain big league teams are out of it by May 1st. So I like that part of it. But it's – and I'll try not to go off on too much of a soapbox here because you and I have chatted off air over times about our schedule. And
right.
I mean, the sounds, like you said, are in a 20-team league. We only play this year 12 of the other 19 teams
Wow.
in the league. So it's immediately a very unbalanced schedule. And then when you get into playoff chase, like what happened with the Sounds in the first half, they just fell two games or three games out of a playoff spot. They were trying to chase – one team that they have never played in the last 5 years, Lehigh Valley, AAA for the Phillies.
Right.
Have never played them. Do not play them this year. We just announced our 2026 schedule. Don't play them next year. So, and I get it. It's hard to play everybody. It's hard. It's impossible to send a schedule to all the 20 teams in the league and include the player perspective, the manager perspective, the minor league front office perspective, the farm director's perspective, where everybody's going to be like, love this. This is great. That's
you can't
impossible.
Please everybody.
It's impossible. But it is a little frustrating to not play everybody or to have never played some of the teams that the Sounds
right.
have been in a league with now for 5 years. We've never played Lehigh Valley. We had never played Scranton-Wilkes-Barre until this year. So it's fun to see them, fun to see some new blood. They got to host a Yankees affiliate in Nashville, which had not happened in decades. Next year we'll see Worcester. AAA for the Red Sox will come in. That's kind of cool. Just
yeah.
hasn't happened in a while. So there's a little bit of that where I think the schedule makers understand that certain affiliates want to host certain teams. But when you then look at a 10-team Pacific Coast League, they're over there saying, we're playing everybody 30 times. Can we play somebody else?
Yeah.
So now they're starting to dip a toe in the water with cross-league
right.
play. The Sounds will go to Sugar Land next year to take on the Astros AAA club, which on its own is kind of cool. But then you're like, okay, but we might be chasing Buffalo in a playoff chase. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, the AAA postseason is minimized. The value of it, unfortunately, gets minimized because from MLB's perspective, they want all 30 AAA teams to play as late into the season as possible. So if you shave off a week to create a wild card round, or you you make the Triple A championship a best of five, or even the league championship a best of five or seven or whatever, that all takes games away from everybody at Triple A playing. And let's take Toledo, for example. I know you're a Tigers fan.
Yep.
You get into a situation where the parent club is in a race, or at least preparing for postseason play. If the AAA club has been out of it and ends its season in like early mid-September, which is what used to happen at AAA, and then you need somebody for the Tigers, you might be calling up a guy who hasn't played for
sitting
2 or 3
on the
weeks.
Couch.
And so that's why the schedule length is the way it is, and by default, the playoff format is the way it is, so that all AAA clubs are playing as far as possible, and then the postseason is as brief as possible, because at the end of the day, AAA will always be about fulfilling what the big league team needs. And some negatives that come with that are the occasional schedule peculiarity or playoff chase that you're in, but you're competing with teams that you never see. So I don't think it's ever going to get fully solved. But it just is the way it is at that point.
Right. And it is funny. You mentioned like Toledo. When I first moved here, I was thinking, oh, the Sounds are in town. I'll go get to see the Mud Hens come play here every year. And then
I think they've come here once.
I don't think I've seen them since I've moved here.
We've been there twice. But again, like this year, we don't play them. 2 years ago, we opened the season there.
You played, three games up there, right?
So again, like there are certain teams, Memphis, even we play Louisville tonight. We have not seen the Louisville Bats yet this
year. Which is one of the closest teams
to
you.
It is literally the closest team to us geographically. That's where again, you're getting me going on this, Jake, and I'm trying not to.
I knew this is when they would bring you up.
And I realize for the casual fan or the Sounds fan who comes to 5 or 6 games, like this may not be that compelling, but like it's a perfect example of what do you want the AAA schedule to accomplish. If you, out of COVID, it was geography. Play as many teams as close to you as possible with the 6-game series to minimize the flights and the bus rides and, you know, the possible lost games from some illness spreading. That's how this schedule originated. And now 5 years later, they're still sort of trying to do that, but they're also sort of not, because we're going to Sugar Land next year. So it's like, I just want to know what the goal of the schedule is. And that sometimes is a little hard to figure out, because Louisville's 2.5 hours from us, and yet we're seeing them for the first time on August the 19th.
Right.
We end the season there. So we will play 12 games against Louisville, the team that we're closest to. And there are years where we're going to Jacksonville twice and hosting Jacksonville twice.
Right.
So again, for most fans, this is probably not that big of a deal. But when you're in the thick of it and you're following a team every day that is fighting to win every game it can, while also players are trying to get to the big leagues, you want it to make a little bit more sense than it does.
Exactly.
And that's kind of the bottom line for me.
I've gotten the chance to fill in for you for a little bit, and I wanted to highlight Rick Sweet a little bit, the manager of the Sounds, one of the all-time winningest managers in minor league history. And just being around him for the small amount that I have been, I wrote down on the plan for the show today, ultimate baseball guy. Like, that is just a dude who lives and breathes the game of baseball. And it's funny because, again, like you mentioned, the casual follower who just goes out to a couple games may not recognize Rick Sweet as the manager of the Sounds. But when you're around him and you see everything that he does for that team and how much he cares about his players and their journeys, it is really cool to see that he's devoted his life to this game and is still doing it at, how old is
early Rick? 70s.
Early 70s. Yep. He's still out there doing it every single day.
Every single day. I'm glad you brought it up, because we as the Sounds want people to realize the career that Rick has built for himself. He's actually currently tied for third all-time minor league managerial win.
Right.
So his next win will move him ahead of Buddy Bailey, also a longtime minor league manager of the last few decades, who's not managing this year. So Rick is now about to pass him. It'll take next year, maybe even another year as far as first all-time, if Rick is going to keep climbing the way it is right now. But he's about to be third all-time ever in minor league managerial wins. He's at 2,417 right now. And you just stop and think about that number, which then also means, and Rick would point this out, he's like, well, how many losses have I had? You know, because he's managed so many games.
Right.
But that, like, he's done this for almost 4 decades as a minor league manager, most of it at AAA. He and I were kind of chatting the other day. I was like, how many guys do you think he's told you're going to the big leagues? many of them for the very first time, and that is the best part of a AAA manager's job, to get to tell that player. That's kind of the sacred moment.
Yeah.
For all the hours you put in, you're 99 times out of 100, it's the AAA manager that gets to break the news to that player. So that alone, think about how many guys he's gotten to share life-changing news to, which is very cool. But then also just, you know, all the tough conversations when guys are released or they've been put on waivers or they've been traded or they're going back down to double A, and just the hours that he puts in. And you know what it's like to cover a team every day, whatever the sport. You get to know the coach or the manager or the players, and everybody's personality is a little bit different. Every year at the team dynamic is a little bit different. I'm realizing, because Rick started with the Sounds in 2014, and then we changed affiliates, but he's been managing AAA for the Brewers ever since. So starting back in 2021, Rick Sweet back with the Sounds, but he's been AAA for the Brewers this whole time. I'm realizing how fortunate I've been, and I am, to get to just talk ball with him every day. You know, we do the 5 minutes every Sunday on the air. It's the minute after minute, hour after hour off the air that's the most enjoyable part, because he just wants to talk ball. You can ask him anything, whether it's, hey, did you see that big league play last night? Or, you know, what are you thinking here? He loves when he likes to joke that I second guess him all the time. But I'd love to go in the next day and say, hey, I'm just curious. You know, the double steal last night. Did you think they were going to do that, or whatever it is? And he just wants to talk ball. He will give you the answer. He loves it. He lives it and breathes it. He comes in with, we mentioned the age of the early 70s. Like, he's got the same energy that he did over a decade ago when I first met him. He wants to win every single game. He knows what his job is, and he knows that most of the time, we saw it over the weekend wrapping up in Durham. The Sounds had to put a position player on the mound back-to-back games Saturday and Sunday. Just ran out of arms. Triple-A life. But that didn't stop Rick from trying to manage the heck out of those games to still win the game. Like, he is always trying to do two things at once. He's big on the value of winning and the mindset that creates for players who then get to the big leagues. So it's just a really unique guy. Loves to have fun. Loves when you tease him. I always, you know, it's like, you know, Rick, what was it like to manage Babe Ruth? Like, just, he loves that stuff. He just loves, oh yeah, I've been in the game 100 years or whatever. But you also know, and rightfully so, he's very proud of his career.
Yep.
And I don't think people realize how good AAA ball players are, how tough that level is. And when you manage that level for almost 40 years, it's easy to be like, well, he never got to the big leagues, or like a player, but he never got to the big leagues. You don't understand AAA baseball then, if that's where you go when you look at someone's resume, because Rick Sweet has built an amazing career with just unprecedented AAA success. Only two human beings ever have managed more wins than he will have at his next victory. It's pretty remarkable.
Over 2,400 wins. It is insane. I think you mentioned the best moments sending guys to the big leagues. I believe his moment with Sal Frelick went viral a couple of years ago when he sent him up. I want to get to a guy he sent to the big leagues for the first time this year coming up next, who has made a pretty good name for himself so far with the Milwaukee Brewers. Jake Lyman with you, Parker Kelly, and we're joined by Jeff Hem until 11:30, the voice of the Nashville Sounds. More with Jeff coming up right after this. You're on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Be a hero and save a life tomorrow at the 12th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. The drive will be held at Brentwood Concord Road Library tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 102.5 The Game will be on hand from noon to 2 o'clock with swag to give away and a chance to win free concert tickets. Jake Lyman, joined by the voice of the Nashville Sounds, Jeff Hem, up until 11:30. Sounds starting a series tonight, 6:35 first pitch against the Louisville Bats. And Jeff, we were talking about Rick Sweet, and how the best part about being a AAA manager is that you get to send guys to the majors for the first time and tell them that they finally made the big leagues. This year, Jacob Mizorowski, I went and saw him in, I want to say May, and just, it was the fastest game I've ever been to, because he was just mowing people down. I think the game was over in like 2 hours and 6 minutes or something like that, because he went 7 shutout innings and struck out 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he goes up to the majors, makes 5 starts, and then goes to the All-Star game.
Incredible.
I mean, you've seen a lot of great players during your time with the Sounds. I would assume Jacob Mizorowski and the way that he's risen through the ranks all the way up to being an all-star in his rookie season is probably up there as one of those success stories that you've seen at the AAA level.
Yeah, he's definitely on that short list of the ones who've like wowed you the most. And a part of it is like he came up at the end of last year and, you know, it doesn't take long where you're like, wow, the velocity is amazing. The pure stuff potential is great. But then it was the quick rise this year to commanding that stuff like on the edges and getting ahead. And then there's the curveball and like really pitching and not just here's a really hard thrower that at AAA at least will miss a lot of bats. It became like you could see it that this will play in the major leagues. Now, I'm not going to – nobody predicted in five starts he'd be an all-star. Right. But, like, you knew the potential. Then you combined it with, like, the polish that we saw other than a couple of outings this year. It was just the consistency and then the toying with hitters. Some of them where it was almost like he didn't even need to throw the guy a fastball. The other stuff was good enough. And then when the changeup became better, you're like, well, now this is just silly. Like, this is bordering on ridiculous on some of the swings that he would get. So pretty cool to see. I hope he's back off the injured list, but didn't look great the other day in his first start. He'll pitch again this week for them against the Cubs. You just hope he can stay healthy, and like anybody up there, just because of the season that the Brewers have built. And, I mean, it's two-thirds not just former Sounds, but Sounds of the last two, 3 years. And in some cases, just this year, like Mizorowski, it's been so fun to watch what they've done up there. And they are, not just by record, by every measurable possible, they're the best team in baseball. Best team in baseball. Yep. And the outside world, as we all love to think going into a year, what it's all going to look like, very few would have thought that this could be the case on August the 19th.
And that's why baseball is great, because yes, there's no salary cap, and you've got these big spenders like the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees, and they're all going to be playoff teams, and you would guess that they're going to be tough outs once they get to the playoffs because of the talent on those rosters. But you have a team like Milwaukee that there isn't really a big-time free agent on that team, and it's all this homegrown talent, like you said, that came right through Nashville. And even they make a trade and send Aaron Civale away after he requests a trade. You bring in Andrew Vaughn, who was a reclamation project, former third overall pick. Mm-hmm. And then he goes up and lights it up with the Brewers. And it's fun to see a team that they don't spend as much money as some of the bigger teams. And they don't have the big star players that some of these other teams do. But they just win baseball games and they play winning baseball. And that's what I think is great about MLB is that, you know, a team that if they play the game the right way and, you know, get hot at the right time, anybody can go win the World Series.
Well, and you used the phrase, play the game the right way. I love that because I think that people might define that differently of what is playing the game the right way. I know what you mean, and I agree with you, and I think the Brewers do play the game the right way. And the right way to me is that they hit home runs. So this idea of the Brewers during the last few weeks have hit a ton of home runs. Now, early in the year, the narrative was more true about them, the base running and the defense,
small
the pitching,
ball,
the run prevention. What's great now is they're still doing that and they're hitting home runs. I mean, their game yesterday, Bryce Terang has hit like 7 home runs in the last 2 weeks. Caleb Durbin, not known as a power guy because he's not super tall and hasn't had some 40 home run season in the minor leagues, but he's powerful enough to hit home runs, and he hit another one yesterday. So they can beat you in any type of way that that game that day demands that you be beaten, and they've got every ingredient that you could want. They can play the small ball. I think the biggest thing about their style is that whether they end up homering or they end up with a two-run single, they make the pitcher and the other team work, and they drive you crazy, whether it's taking the extra base or a 9-pitch walk and then the home run, and that is really deflating for a team. So they've got all the ingredients, and I think they, as we talked about Rick Sweet in the last segment, I think it's applicable to what it seems like. I'm not up there every day, but you hear about it and you read about it and you talk to players who are down here who've been up there. Pat Murphy seems to have that special sauce of a big league manager where it seems like there's some old school. It seems like there's some new school. He's got the perfect culture set, it sounds like. And he was already there for several years before taking the reins as that manager. But that group seems to love each other, and that's easy when you're winning, but they also seem to mix well together. And that has not always been the case of some of the power players in this game, like the Dodgers or the Yankees, or a lot of talent, but then you look at the lineups or the mix and you're like, something doesn't feel right. You never say that about the Brewers, that something doesn't also feel right. Didn't guarantee a World Series win, but there's every ingredient is there, and I don't, and it's going to be really interesting to see how October plays out, because this guarantees very little, but there's a body of work there and a style that seems to be able to play in a postseason series, maybe a little bit differently than Brewers teams of the past,
right,
who've not gotten past that early round stage.
I know it wouldn't be the flashy pick that maybe baseball or the national audience would like, but I think a Tigers-Brewers World Series would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Those are two teams that, like Tarek Skubal obviously is a Cy Young winner, but in terms of the guys in the lineup, there's a lot of talent, but there isn't an Aaron Judge. There isn't it, yeah. But they work together so well. They pass the baton. The bullpens are good. I think that would be a fun matchup.
And managers that hold their teams accountable,
right,
managers that are old school and new school, in my opinion. I mean, A.J. Hinch is one of the smartest people in the game, but he also, everything you hear about the Tigers is he's got like the feel, he's got the empathy, he's got the structure.
Yeah.
He can take a guy out of a game if he needs to and tell him why to his face. Like, he can have the tough conversation. I just think that those teams are I think managing matters more than sometimes we think it does.
Right.
And whether that's we're talking about a Rick Sweet here with the Sounds, or we're talking about Pat Murphy with the Brewers or A.J. Hinch with the Tigers, I think sometimes it's hard to define. And I get that, and there's a segment of baseball fandom that doesn't like that then if you can't define it.
Yep.
But tell me it doesn't matter, and I'll disagree.
It is funny because, you know, as somebody who follows the Tigers, lots of Tigers fans get upset when Kerry Carpenter's at the plate, and he's one of the Tigers' best hitters, and a lefty comes in, and you're like, just let him hit. He's one of, and they bring in an old friend, Jamai Jones, who's a right-handed guy, and it's like, man, he's not. And then he gets a base hit and moves the line along. It's like, all right, well, maybe AJ does know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff Hamm, the voice of the Nashville Sounds, is with us for 30 more minutes. We'll continue to talk about the Brewers as they look to make a run in October this year. And also some big picture thoughts on baseball. Rob Manfred had some thoughts on maybe some realignment across baseball earlier this week. We'll talk about that in the next 30 minutes. Jake Lyman, Jeff Hamm, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.